I was sent yesterday morning a text message. And the text message had a video attached to it. Had like assistant pastors there at the pulpit, talking to people. He kept on talking for a little while, and you can tell he was kind of nervous, waiting on something to happen. Eventually, here comes the pastor. And he was floating down from the ceiling. And he was shouting, "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming." I began to text back the people that text me that text. And they're trying to figure out how they can rig up a zip line from up here to back there, or from up there back here, and put me on a zip line. And Dave will pay to see it over here. But I do not need a zip line to tell you that Jesus is on his way. I can tell you that if you will keep on praising him like you're praising him this morning, when you wake up on Monday morning, when you wake up on Tuesday and rest of the week, if you're praising him like you're praising him this morning, you can be rest assured that you're going to be watching that eastern sky. You're going to be watching the clouds. Could be him coming down today. Take out a church out of this world for his name's sake. Dear people, we're that close. We are that close. I don't know what you're looking for in the next 5 or 10 years. I'm looking for the next 5 or 10 minutes. Any moment, twinkling of an eye. That's why I'm not going to have any rock to take my place. I'm going to praise him while I have a chance to praise him. I'm going to worship him while I have a chance to worship him. Amen. Great music this morning. Thank you, Brother Randy. Sister Elena, praise team. Awesome. Hallelujah. I love that atmosphere of worship. If you don't like singing and worship, you're going to be awful bored in heaven.
That's right.
You're going to be bored in heaven. There's going to be a lot of singing going on in heaven. A lot of worship going on in heaven. I don't think there's going to be any time clock on the back wall of heaven says it's, you know,
right.
You've worshiped for an hour, now you've got to stop.
That's right.
So you need to get used to it down here. You need to get used to worshiping him, praising him. Good to have you with us this morning in Community Life Center. Great things God is doing while there is time yet to do it. And I don't know if that's going to be the theme of if he tarries to 2019, what the theme would be, do it while you got time to do it. Get with it or get left behind. I want to get with it. I want to be involved with it. And I was studying this week and I'm saying, Lord, you sure you want this word? Well, it's his word. He just loans it to us to talk about it. So his word is always good and appropriate at all times. So I want to direct your attention to a certain story found twice in the Old Testament. First, we'll be reading from 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 13. And then from Numbers chapter 29 and verse 1. Here in this setting of the scriptures, the godly priest Jehoiada came up with the means to finance a building plan to rebuild the tabernacle, the temple. And through much sacrifice, they begin to do some work on the neglected house of God to be rebuilt. Yet in the construction of the temple, certain things went missing. It's all right to build the house of God. The intent and purpose is good. But we should leave nothing out what God has put in the house of God. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 13, howbeit there were not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessels of gold or vessels of silver of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. Now, wait a minute right there. God had intended for all this to be in the house of the Lord. Whether you've been away from God for a while or you're just newly coming to the Lord, He intends for you to have everything in your house that He intended for to be there in your house. Problem today with church and with religion. More people are concerned with religion, routine, the rote of doing the same thing over and over again and forgetting the why, the reason for them being in the house of God. That is one purpose only. Because we enter His gates with praise and with thanksgiving. We come to worship Him because He is our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior. He's our way maker, door opener, healer of our body, healer of our spirit, Savior of our soul. He's all of these things, and He is worthy of more than routine and rote. It's everyday experience. Healthy today, sick tomorrow. Good today, bad tomorrow. In the valley today, on the mountaintop tomorrow. It's an up and down experience. Day by day, things happen. And He's a God on the mountain. He's the God in the valley. He's a God in the operating room. He's the God who is in the waiting room waiting with you on the results of the surgery. We cannot afford to have a house that God wants to live in and then it be absent of the things that He wants in that house. Paul said, know you not that you are the temple of God? We've been bought for. God builds us. He makes us. He shapes us according to His will and His purpose. And He intends to have everything in that house that He intends to have in that house. Religion today and experiences with a lot of places today is they have a house void of the things that God wants in the house. It's void of experience, a void of a move of His Spirit, a void of the miracles and the signs and the wonders that God said that He would do. It's just a house, cold, empty of the things that God wants in the house. Notice among the inventory of missing things, God's house was missing a very important item. Here in 2 Kings 12 and 13, it says, howbeit there were not made for the house of the Lord trumpets. A portion of one of the passage of scriptures that directs the times in which we live. And what is this day? I might ask the question this morning, what is the ministry of this day of God's church? Let's look at Numbers chapter 29, verse 1. Numbers 29, verse 1. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no civil work. It is not a day, it is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. I get to listen to trumpets all day long. I don't have to work. I don't have to toil. I just listen to the trumpet. I like that. God set a time aside, a day aside. He set a month aside. Don't do any work, don't do anything activity-wise. Just I want you to sit back because I'm going to blow the trumpets unto you. Now, why would he do that? Because God spoke to his people through trumpets. And one thing that you do not want to leave out of the house of God is the voice of God. Let me share with you a little bit this morning about the days of trumpets. Days of trumpets. Amen. In the house of God, there were silver trumpets. Fashioned out of one piece of silver. God gave instructions how they were to be made. And he also told them to make two trumpets of silver. I wonder what they sounded like anyway. Oh, yes. Get used to that sound. Why? And the Lord going to come back with what? You need that in your house. You need to be familiar with that trumpet in your house, in your life. Don't stare at me. You ought to shout. You ought to worship God. Why? If you've got a trumpet in your house, the problem is a lot of people don't have a trumpet in their house. You try to build your house without the things that God intended to be in your house. The trumpet, no child of Israel was unfamiliar with its sound. Every day of your life you wake up, I want if this is a day I'm going to hear the sound of the trumpet. God's going to talk to me about coming up higher. Yeah. Come up hither. Going to leave the world behind. Going to leave my sorrows behind. Going to leave my troubles and difficulties and sickness and affliction behind, because there's going to be a sound in God's house I'm going to be familiar with, and I'm going to understand what it says. And I'm going to leave the gravitational pull of the world that I'm living in. Amen? Amen. In fact, the trumpets in that day framed the very day. By night, a priest was assigned to watch four fires in the temple. The first three fires watched were from the brazen altar, the golden candlestick, and the golden altar of incense. The fourth fire was called the first spark of the new day. For three events happened nearly simultaneously the dawn, the morning sacrifice, and the sounding of the trumpet. If you was an Israelite, you woke up every morning knowing that there was a sacrifice being made for Israel that morning. And the second thing was, you're going to hear the sounding of the trumpet. And when the fiery sun finished streaking across the heavens and sank below the western horizon, and when the dust of the evening time began to settle in, there was these other things like the evening sacrifice and again the sounding of the trumpet. God's voice was speaking in the morning time to you. And then when you lay your head at night time, the voice of God was speaking to you again. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. There needs to be a trumpet sound in our spirit and in our life that will sound out a praise and a glory to the Lord. Oh, come on, church. Do you have what God intended for you to have in your house? The trumpet was part and parcel of so much for God's people in that day. The trumpet called God's people to worship. It was a holy convocation and sacred feast were marked with trumpets. The feasts were marked with trumpets of blast, called the people to feast. Ninefold blessings of the rabbis were punctuated with trumpets. At Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, as Moses instructed, the trumpets sound all day, giving God the year. And once every 50 years, a trumpet of jubilee sounded, and the oppressed went free. There needs to be a sound in your spirit of God giving you a jubilee when He filled you with the baptism of His Spirit in your life. There needs to be a sound of praise that will emanate from you, because God and Him alone has set you free. When Solomon should have been crowned king, Abinadi, the would-be king, and Joab, the kingmaker, as you begin to read in the Old Testament, schemed to take away Solomon for being king. They knew their endeavors had failed when they heard the trumpet sound. The trumpet blast indicated Solomon had been crowned king. The devil, all of his imps, and the world one day will understand that when a sound and a blast of the trumpet comes, they say they hear sounds in the city of Jerusalem seemingly come from heaven of trumpet sounds. They say some are hearing strange trumpet sounds in the world today. I'm here to tell you this morning, the one trumpet sound that's going to notify the devil that you're about ready to be missing some of your people you've been aggravating and tempting, trying to get separated from God. You are too late, because at the sound of the trumpet, they went up with a shout of the voice of the Lord and are no longer in the world for you to torment and aggravate and to trick and to lie against. Oh, come on, church. There's something you've got to have inside of your house. That's a voice of God. Can I say that when the trumpet sounds, the Son of David is enthroned as king? No wonder we are commanded to praise God with the sound of trumpets. I also read in Scripture that at the dedication of Solomon's temple, the trumpet sounded and God's Spirit filled the place like a thick fog where the priest could not even minister. We was almost there this morning. I said in this house was almost there this morning. What it would it be like when our praise, when our sound of our trumpet voice and our worship to God causes God to come in His Shekinah glory. And the blue haze of His presence and anointing would come and fill the tabernacle of worship and of praise. Where the preacher couldn't preach and the singers couldn't sing. And the keyboardist couldn't find the keys to the keyboard. It was so heavy, so foggy. Amen. You danced well ago, dance again. Why? I went to Fort Wayne Friday morning. Did anybody notice how foggy it was Friday morning? I got up early Friday morning to go to Fort Wayne. I had an appointment early in the morning. It was so foggy, you can barely see in front of the car. So thick. I want to be in the thickness and the glory. Where you cannot. Come on, somebody. Where you cannot. Where you cannot. You're not even thinking about anything except surviving the glory of God. I was worried about surviving in the car. I got to run into somebody ahead of me because it was so thick and it seemed like so dangerous. But I hunger for the presence of Shekinah glory. I pray that I do not lose. That it's never taken away from me what God wants to put inside of me. And that is a trumpet of the worshiper and the voice of God speaking to me, my brother Terry. Because I want to be in the fog of God and the glory of God. We're all almost like I have to stumble to find my way in the presence of God. Oh, somebody worship the Lord here right now. Woo! When you get to heaven, you won't stare at God, you'll shout and worship. You won't be quiet in His presence. You'll fall down to your feet and say, oh my God, I'm not worthy to raise my head and even look at you. You may think that you don't worship God now, but honey, that day is going to come where you have no choice. Every tongue is going to confess. Every tongue is going to confess. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Well, let's worship again. Come on. Come on. Let there be a trumpet inside of your soul. Let there be a trumpet inside of your spirit. A day of trumpets. Day of trumpets. No church can make a mistake of not having trumpets inside. What the trumpet was then, the God called sin of God is today. The trumpets of yesterday and today exist to call God's people to a higher level. This year is about ready to close out. So is this dispensation of grace about ready to close out. Some have forgot about thinking about the coming of the Lord. I will remind you, you need to reawaken that within inside your spirit. When Jesus came the first time, John the Baptist preached the way. Think of the qualities of John the Baptist. Separated unto God and devoted. But most importantly, John knew what was expected of him. He said, I am the voice, Mark chapter 1 and verse 3. And on the cuspice of Christ's return, our Lord is raising people in these last days in the spirit of John the Baptist. He's looking for holiness, devotion, and the courage to lift our voice like trumpets in this day that we're living in. Ministry to me is not a profession or a career. It is a calling and a vocation. A vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, meaning a voice. You and I were born to give God a voice in the world that you and I are living in the generation that you and I are living in. We're not a piccolo playing, preach me a happy tune, preacher. We're not a bassoon sounding lamentation. We're not a violin fiddling while Rome burns. No, we are none of those instruments. We are trumpets. Come on, church, I said we're trumpets. Trumpets. When the darkness comes, sound the trumpet. When sin abounds, sound the trumpet. When the love of many wax cold, sound the trumpet. Trumpets are for these times. Trumpets are needed in the day that you and I are living in right now in the 21st century. In the last days, many attempts to build churches and ministries without trumpets, without thinking. And when people do that, that organization and people skills will stand in for certain sounds. You cannot be good enough. You cannot develop skills enough. Come on, many churches are trying to build skills and entertainment. No Smyrna here, no. That poise and polish will substitute for that distinct peal of the trumpet. No, Laodicea, it will not. The technology and charisma can't replace the preaching of God's word. No, Ephesus, it will not. That dialogue can substitute for demonstration. No, it cannot. The Apostle Paul said, I do not come with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost power and demonstration in the church today. Nothing can take the place of the trumpet in your house, in your life. We live in the last days. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And in his view of these times, John the Revelator was caught up into another world. How did God speak at that time? Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 through 11 said, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying. In the last days, God will lead his people through and by his Holy Spirit, by his word, and his trumpet-like voice. God will use evangelists boldly proclaiming God's news. Teachers rightly dividing the word of truth. Apostles, prophets, pastors, gifted people in service, helps and hospitalities, administration, boldly saying, this is how God has equipped me. I will be as bold and confident as a trumpet's blast. It's time to be woke up, church. I thank God for the Davids among us who know how to pick up their harp and play skillfully and smooth. But I remind each of us that we are not merely here to be comforted, but sometimes we're here to be afflicted. Afflicted? Said, you're preaching, it surely hurt me this morning. Well, it's supposed to. Yeah, it is. How many here was not here Wednesday night? He's going to say, how many was here Wednesday night? How many was not here Wednesday night? You would have heard Wednesday night that it's not your feeling that you keep sticking out. That's important to you. What was the other one? What? Feeling, emotions. I can count on my scribe over here. Our emotions get in our way. Our feelings won't tell us the truth. It takes God's spirit to connect to your spirit. It takes that voice that sounds like a strong trumpet that will speak to the inner man inside of you. Amen. It takes that power and ability. Paul said, I don't come with enticing words, flowery words. He was a man of letters, a man of learning. He had all kinds of educational background, but he knew something that was greater than all the education that he could get in that day. It was the infilling power of the Spirit of God. Yeah. And he simply would say, listen, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you think about the preaching that I preach. But this, I'm going to tell you this. I come in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. You know what the church is missing today? It is the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It is the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. The power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. There you go. Power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Power, demonstration, Holy Ghost. Has it been ever tried to pick up a trumpet and play a trumpet you didn't play before in your life? How many of you try to play a trumpet and you didn't know how to play it? You try to form the mouth, you think you've seen somebody play a trumpet, you see how they put their lips up to that mouth beam, and you can pucker a little bit and you get all red in face. That's where some of you are when you try to worship. You've been so far out of worship, you forgot to how to play the trumpet. Come on, I'm talking to you too now. I was that Hammond 4B player up and going. Oh, I'd worship, but I forgot how to play it.
Tell us again. That's all right.
Oh, you built your house without what God told you to put in the house?
Oh, come on. Go ahead. Help me, Lord.
Yes. Oh, you walk around the house that doesn't have the things in it that God said you must have in your house? I don't like to go home to an empty house. If my wife is gone out and she's down in Sullivan visiting her relatives or whatever she does, that's fine. I go home. It's just not the same. It's cold. It's empty. Plus, there's nothing cooking on the stove. And the socks pile up. And sometimes I'll go home, I'll save a little bit, and I'll get out, and I'll just take a little drive. I wonder if God ever shows up in your house, in your spiritual house. He walks inside. It's awful cold in here. I don't see anything that's supposed to be in here. If I walked into my house and there's no stove, no refrigerator, two most important things in the whole house, I'd stand up and sleep. I can't survive without a stove and a refrigerator. And God walks into your house. It looks like a house. It looks like a Christian. It looks like a, it's supposed to be a child of God, but It's empty inside there. There's nothing I can relate to. It's everything that I thought I would have in my house. I wouldn't build a house without also equipping the house. I would make sure I have a bed in the bedroom. I would make sure I have a couch in the living room. A table and chairs in the dining room. Kitchen is my favorite place. Did I tell you that kitchen is my favorite place? I'd have a stove and a refrigerator in there. I would not build a house without having the essentials inside the house. If I just simply built me a house and I called it a house and I walk through the front door and it is cold and empty inside of it. Someone said, I don't feel God. Well, there's a reason you don't feel, because you don't have in that house what God wants you to have in that house. It's not a house unless it's fully equipped. And God looks around in your house and it says, oh, I'm chilly in here. I think I'll just take a ride. And he slips out. And you don't even know that he's been there looking around. In your house, God intends for you to have what he intends for you to have. Paul asked that biblical question in Romans 10, 14. How can they hear without a preacher? God is on a quest. What is the one thing God's going to look for when he walks into your spiritual house? He's in search of trumpets. They cannot hear unless there are human trumpets. Church, the world's not going to hear the gospel unless there are some human trumpets. And I think this morning God would have us to check our spiritual house to see if it's equipped with what he wants inside the house. Sometimes we need to take inventory. You see, our calling is one of a voice. We are the voice of God calling into this world. So a church is not your entertainment center. It is where we can come together and agree that there's no one like him, and he is worthy of all of our praise and glory and worship. House of God is a place where we come and we lean on one another and pray for one another, lift one another up and encourage one another. Martha found Mary in the busy household. Mary, Mary, the master calls for you. I think he's calling for some of you this morning. Our job, brothers and sisters, is not found in our computer skills. It's not found in our managing abilities. It does not reside in our people skills. And we thank God for these things, every one of those things. So glad that you have them. Our calling is of one voice. You are the voice of God in the world in which you live. Martha, Martha, the master calls for you. Put your name into that this morning. The master calleth for you. He calls you to a place of your greatest hurt and disappointments. And he says, I can make all the difference. Yeah. But you got to hear the sound of the trumpet when he calls to heal you. He says, I can make all the difference. He calls for the missing trumpets. He calls for someone to rise above and say, let me lend my voice to the cause. My dear brother this morning put a call out. Brother Shasky said there's prayers coming in on our new webpage. We need people that will respond to pray for these prayer requests. They need to have somebody praying for them because God has spoke to them. Thank God for the prayer mantle that people take and pray 30 minutes a day for a week until they bring it back and someone else steps up. Thank God for that. Maybe we need to be like Moses standing beside the fiery bush and said, here am I. Isaiah stood before God's throne and said, here am I. And the call still goes out. The call to be a sacred vessel. The call to be a chosen instrument, a trumpet for God. Come on, church. This is not our local entertainment center. It's a place where God calls us to build the house and put in it the instruments that He intends to be in the house. When you go to pray the next time, would you say, God, put inside me all the things you intend my house to have that you want in my house. Let's don't be like people that says, let's build a church, but we don't need all the things that God thinks we need. Church on every street corner, up and down every street. And they're wondering why it's cold and indifference. I don't want to be said of an apostolic church. Where's the trumpets? Where's the worshipers? Where's the voice that says, I will share Jesus with a hurting, dying world? Amen. Need to have trumpets. God calls, God equips, and here is the question. Who feels this morning like equipping their house with everything that God wants in that house? Yes. Oh. So many people want Jesus without commitment to Jesus. So many want Jesus without dedication to Jesus. But I'm so glad I'm a part of a congregation of the people. And you are not alone. For this gospel shall be preached unto all the world. And then the end shall come, the scripture says. But until that day, we respond to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the reason why is He wants to equip you with everything you need in your soul and your spirit. Why? It's because you can be the trumpet or the voice of God. Ye shall be my witness, He says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so, they spread out from Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost. And what a musical note they sounded. And all Jerusalem was filled with their doctrine. And cities were turned upside down because the sound of the voice of God was bugling from the depths of their soul and their spirit. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And wonders and signs, miracles. Said, Pastor, why do you want to see those things? Because when somebody sees something that's impossible to ever take place, and it does, you come to the conclusion, man did not do this, but the higher power, God, has done this thing. I've stood beside people and seen miracles that boggles the mind of man. And it happens in this world every day, every day. This congregation, this people, you. Let's take inventory of what God intended for us to have inside this house. Let's equip it like the house is supposed to be equipped. Would you lift your heart and hands right now where you're seated? Would you just lift your hands? Ask God with me to equip my very house of His dwelling with everything that He intends to be in my house. Father, I pray. Equip me with everything that You have and that You desire to have me in my house, in my soul, in my spirit, in my life. Come on, let's pray. Ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. I don't want Him coming into my life and finding it empty of the things that He asked me in there. I want to be so in tune, I want to be able to hear the sound of the trumpet and the voice of an archangel. In a twinkling of an eye, we leave this world behind. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you stand with me this morning? Yes, ma'am. Come on, that's the lingering presence of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God, speak to our hearts this morning.